The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
The Real Housewives reunion is finally here, and it was everything.
That's not why you were shitty to me. Why were you shitty to you? You tell me why.
Because I don't trust you.
Okay,
I didn't
there
trust
we
you.
Go.
Then Sharon Osbourne is out for blood. Her shocking new allegations.
They sent her to anger management.
Wow.
So it's all right to treat producers that way, but I can't say anything to a co-host.
And Kate Walsh is spilling secrets about her return to Grey's Anatomy tonight.
Fans are going to be super stoked.
You guys, today on Daily Pop, the knives are out at the Real Housewives reunion. Bravo understood the assignment, and it did not disappoint. Karamo Brown and Morgan Stewart McGraw are here. So let's get into the chaos.
You guys, let's get into it.
I'm not gonna lie. When I heard about this story, I nearly fell out of my seat. I listened to this whole conversation. Sharon Osbourne is unloading about all the drama she says went down behind the scenes on The Talk. Mm. She's calling Cheryl angry and Elaine a hypocrite. Ugh. No one was safe on the SiriusXM's The Megyn Kelly Show. Watch this.
Cheryl had three complaints about her from different producers about the way she treated them. And so they called me and I said, you cannot get rid of Cheryl. There is no way. They sent her to anger management.
Wow.
So it's all right to treat producers that way, but I can't say anything to a co-host. They said to me, you are on permanent suspension with no pay, and we don't know if we'll ever bring you back. So I told them all what I felt about them all. I told them about some dirt that had gone on at the company that I knew about. And they were very afraid of me because I'm not afraid to say what I feel. And they just wanted me gone.
Elaine was caught on tape after she piled on you, on tape, admitting her heart wasn't in it.
And right after that, she was in my dressing room. She went to HR and complained about me. Oh. So talk about hypocritical.
I don't have time for either of these white women. I'm just gonna let you know that right now. Let's just start it off right now. We're not gonna start with, they were hypocrites, angry, all the coded words that we know that is get used for black women. And then we're gonna also talk about, well, I tried to save their careers and all this stuff. I am done with both of them. Good day.
By the way, look, Sharon, speak your truth. If that's your truth, if you know that to be a fact, go ahead and speak on it.
But that's not truth. What it is coded, loaded language that she's using, which is what got her ass off the show in the first place. And that's what it is. You know what I mean?
Go for it.
It's the truth.
Go for it. My problem with this whole scenario is, and I say this in my friendships, I don't care if you and I have the fight of a lifetime, you and I scrap out in the parking lot, I'm never gonna go and retaliate with you and try to bring your character down in public.
Amen. But what if you felt as though I had something to do with you no longer being on this show?
then I feel like I would say it in my own time and when it made the most sense. I don't think for her this makes the most sense. If Sharon Osbourne was smart enough, why would you, you know that you are the face of privilege on the talk. Why would you sit with somebody else who is the face of privilege on this show? Go sit with a Robin Roberts. Go sit with a Don Lemon and go sit with somebody and say your truth.
All so that you can be challenged.
Yes.
Because that's the problem. Megyn Kelly is not going to challenge her. Megyn Kelly is going to disagree with her. And it's going to be like, oh, kumbaya, let's both use coded language that so we can attack people of color or women in this women of color in this moment.
Right. And by the way, let me remind you of something. And I'm sorry, Megyn Kelly, but I got to say it. It's my job. Megyn Kelly was also ousted for putting on some blackface situation.
Exactly. Like, situation. You know what I mean? Like, so both y'all in here talking about
not
this.
Putting on, but like, you know, allegations. Mm-hmm. I'm saying... Why would you walk into...
It's not the smartest choice of person
Thank
to sit
you.
Down with.
Yes.
And I do feel like you said something when you touched on the timing of it. I mean, first of all, I really do like Sharon Osbourne. I do want to say that. I think that this whole situation is obviously very messy. There's a lot of layers. I think there's a lot of things that go on behind the scenes of people's personalities that we don't necessarily
of
see
course.
On camera.
Yeah.
And people talk about it. I do feel like this either should have happened... I mean, obviously, she needed the dust to settle to sort of figure out what was going on. Because I do feel, on Sharon's behalf of this, I do think she thought her and Cheryl were friends. And I think Elaine going in and saying, my heart's not in, and all of the things that she said, I think Sharon felt like these women were her allies and then didn't realize how much they did want her gone for whatever reasons.
Yeah.
And now she's trying to basically say, well, my other cast members were snap. I mean, we have
people. But I'll say this. This is something that people don't understand, especially as black people in this country.
Yeah.
Sometimes you feel as if you have to sort of act a certain way or do a certain thing, especially in a corporate environment.
Yes.
And so I can think about Cheryl and them, and they're like, maybe like, oh, these are what I've been feeling. This is what I've been experiencing. But like, I also think you're my friend. And so like, I can't really say what I want to say. And then when they have the opportunity to say it, now it's like, where did this come from? And it's like, well, bitch, oh, excuse me.
No,
so sorry.
It.
No, because usually I don't cuss. But
it's okay.
It just got me. It was like, girl, like, look at your actions beforehand. You know what I mean?
Yep.
And so... I'm just over them, too.
The timing is weird.
I
felt like it should have happened either right then or
yes.
maybe... Because I feel like also there's... I know that Sharon is upset, and she obviously has her feelings about what happened. Everybody has their own point of view. But I do feel like whenever, even though you're so angry, it's like when you want to go on just such a frivolous level, you want to go and tweet something out, mm-hmm. it always... And you do it, you always go back 3 days later, and you're like, why did I do this?
Yes.
I just wish that she didn't maybe give in to that. But yeah.
I think that Sharon is at... Have you ever watched Independence Day with Will Smith?
Yeah.
I think Sharon is... Follow
like
me here.
Like, yeah.
I like this connection already, though.
Yeah,
I'm there with
here.
It.
Sharon is the drunk dad who it has nothing else to live for. So what she's going to do is she's going to fly her plane
off
right into the spaceship and blow it up. Because if I'm going down, you're going to come
but
with me.
But the thing is, this is also like, that's another point in Sharon revealing this. Is this good? Does Sharon feel like, I need to get this off my chest? I'm sick and tired. Because listen, I can understand just on a hypothetical, if you are being portrayed one way and you don't truly don't feel you are mm-hmm. that way, and then you have someone over here who is a massive see you next Tuesday to producers on and off camera.
Yes.
And you feel like that person's not being dragged as well. I can understand that you're kind of like, you guys don't even know what's going on in
real
world.
For sure.
But that's like
the biggest piece of privilege. It's like,
right.
Well, I like, oh my gosh, like I'm losing my job. Look at her. She's like, come on now.
Yeah.
Like that should be handled by the producers. The same way the producers didn't check you, the producer should be the one to express, hey, Cheryl's behavior is inappropriate.
Right.
This is why. This is not your job, Sharon Osbourne. This is literally not your job.
Ooh. Well, guys, we reached out to Sharon, Elaine, The Talk. We reached out
to
everybody.
Okay.
But nobody told us anything bad. We're going to be following this story because I'm pretty sure Sharon ain't finished talking.
Okay.
No.
Now, she should be.
Muzzle?
Muzzle.
It got downright dirty in Beverly Hills last night. We knew Garcelle would be put in the hot seat, but what we didn't see coming was Garcelle flipping the script on Lisa Rinna.
Did you?
Someone told me that you said that I should have never brought race into this show, that this show is not that kind of show. And that pissed me off.
Then why didn't you come to me and say, Rinna, what are you doing?
So you're gonna blame me for something that
I'm not
for being
you.
Upset about something.
I want to know why you were so mean to me all season, and you go, I heard that, and that's why I was mean to you?
The race thing really bothered me.
I never said it. So where'd you get it?
I'm not saying a word about that.
You know, it's
but
pretty unbelievable.
But I will send some texts.
Well, guys, that's it's
really
pretty
awful.
Unbelievable that you just did that.
All right. Was it fair for Garcelle to bring that up for the first time during the reunion? or should she have told Lisa Rinna on the side?
Yes, it was fair. It's exactly what I just expressed about sometimes when African-Americans, especially African-American women, are in positions with a job, sometimes you feel scared, like, if I speak up, am I going to be alienated? Am I going to lose my job? So once you have a moment to sit on it, it's like, okay, I feel like I can find the confidence to speak my truth and speak to this.
Yes.
Lisa Rinna said something about race that affected a black woman. What she should say, and Lisa Rinna is a very sweet and beautiful woman. Like, she's very kind, and she also is an empathetic listener, what I like about her. So I'm surprised by the way she's acting right now, because normally she would be like, oh, I hear you. Oh. I receive it.
Oh, no, no, no.
I think she felt caught off guard. That was the issue, I think, with it. Because I think for her, she was like, well, if this is something that was really bothering you, why didn't you tell me in real time? Which I understand, obviously, they're doing her show together. But to keep, I think Lisa probably, and I have not seen this yet, so I don't know. Because I get the late showing and I have to be up. But I do feel like Lisa was like, that has been the first time that Lisa had heard something. And she was like, wait, why am I being told something? If you were holding this against me the whole time, I wish you would have just come to me either in a scene on the show. And said, this is how I'm feeling. It's not cool with me. This is how I feel, whatever. And then they should have hashed it out. I think that Lisa got upset about the fact that she was like, wait, this is the first time I'm hearing this. You've held this over me, and now you're throwing it out.
Well, Lisa knows how white women die in Hollywood. You know, someone throws out a race thing, and then all of a sudden it's like, oh, bam.
Yeah.
The thing with this whole situation, Karama, I completely agree with you.
Yeah.
However, this is reality TV. This is a group of friends, and we all know that the game of telephone can be a bitch.
Okay.
I'm gonna give you a prime example of how this all came to me, how this happened to me. I went on a trip with a bunch of ladies, and it was right after Black Lives Matter happened. It was like right in the thick of it all. And I went on this trip, and the first night on this trip, it was a lot of questions about George Floyd and politics and how I felt. And I said to them, look, I want to intermittent black. I don't want to be black between the hours of 6 and 12 o'clock. I just want to be in peace. I don't want to talk about it all the time because I felt like I was teaching and teaching and working and working when I just wanted to relax.
Well, were you with five white women?
I was with five white women. But, you know, like, sometimes they expect the black man to be the teacher.
100%.
But I just didn't want to teach all the time.
Yeah.
And I didn't want to teach on that trip.
Yes.
It got back to me when I got home that somebody said to somebody don't ever ask him about Black Lives Matters because he does never wants to educate anybody, and that's not his role, and yada, yada, yada. Whew. But it's a game of telephone. And I was upset about it because I thought to myself, wow, like,
I just want to be on vacation right now.
I just want to be on vacation right now. So when I traced it back, I realized that one person said it to one person who kind of changed it a little bit and said it to somebody else. I don't think Lisa Rinna was like, we don't do this on this show. I have a feeling that it came up, and maybe Lisa Rinna was like, oh, this is kind of uncomfortable. Can we just go back to 2019 or 2018?
Like, it was a harmless remark.
Like, it was a harmless remark that got back to somebody, and she didn't realize how
it was. But we're not going back to 2019. We are in 2021, baby.
And almost 2022.
Any of those remarks that we think are harmless, we're coming for it. We're speaking up. And so, though I understand the game of telephone, I also understand systemic racism and how it affects black women. And so, I'm glad Garcelle spoke up. I'm glad she said something. Mm-hmm. And what I hope from, like, Garcelle being on this show, from Ebony being on New York, is that these white women who have never had an opportunity to really have conversation that made them uncomfortable start to sit in it and start to help their other friends to say, it's okay for us to sit in this, it's okay for us to learn from this, and it's okay to still have a fabulous show and look good.
Mm-hmm.
100%.
Well said.
Still ahead, Countess Luann is in the house. We'll get her take on the whole mess. Plus, she's got some new music. Don't miss it.
Ah, I've been trying to be a duet with Countess Luann forever. I love her.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
What's gonna give me joy? Hanging with all the boys, that's always nice to do. But what do I want for Christmas? Just you. Well, maybe it's that Cartier watch or that Tiffany bracelet.
They say ask and you shall receive. That was Countess Luann's new music video for What Do I Want for Christmas? And joining us now is Luann De La Zella.
Hi, it's so good to be here.
I can't believe we have you in the flesh. We are very excited.
Awesome.
We have been talking about Real Housewives Ultimate Girls Trip.
Yes.
How crazy.
It was so much fun. It's so different from Housewives shows in general because you kind of get a peek behind the scenes as to what our life is really like being on these shows. And, you know, we swap stories, you know, between Beverly Hills, Atlanta, New York, and how different it is filming in those different, you know, locations and the women.
Right.
So it was great because we got to, you know, talk about things that we don't talk about on the show. It's kind of, we peel back the fourth wall.
How hard was it? Because, you know, a lot of times when Ramona does her Ramona thing, everyone chalks it up to, oh, that's just Ramona,
right,
because you guys know her. But what happens on the girls'
trip? She did not get away with it this time.
Oh.
Right.
Oh, no. Kenya was all about it. And
I can't wait.
I knew that.
And, yeah, and, you know, it was great because I saw different perspective because I'm so used to Ramona.
Mm-hmm.
And then I saw the women's reactions to her, and it was like, oh, well, maybe she shouldn't be getting away with all this. I'm sorry. So, but anyway, we have a great time. You know, it was great to get to know Kyle, who I didn't really know well.
Oh, wow.
And Kenya and I got along really great, which I didn't know how that was going to play out, right? But I was pleasantly surprised.
I had a lot of fun. You were scared to actually meet because you thought like there would be some tension?
It was Kenya.
It was
Kenya because I heard so much about her and drama queen and all that from Atlanta. And we actually really hit it off, which was a pleasant surprise for me. And Kyle is hilarious.
She's so funny.
We laughed a lot. And, you know, and there's always the drama, of course, when you have seven women like this together on a trip.
Oh, my God, forget it.
The Turks and Caicos was just unbelievable. It was so beautiful.
Did you know everybody who was going on the trip beforehand? Like, did they tell you exactly who was going?
I knew Teresa and I knew Melissa Gorga. And of course, I know Ramona. Didn't know Kyle really well. Didn't know Kenny really well. And Cynthia is my bestie. I love Cynthia.
Who did you not get along with?
Yes.
Funnily enough, I got along with everyone, and I had the most conflict with Ramona.
Right? Oh my gosh, you're like...
Right? I was expecting it to come from somewhere else, but it was right home base, you know?
Yeah. It's so funny because everyone thinks when you're a housewife, y'all all just hang out.
Yeah.
But it doesn't happen like that where, like, you know, at BravoCon, maybe you guys will have a dinner or two, but you guys all grabbed dinner last night. You, Kyle, Cynthia, Teresa.
Oh, yes.
What did you guys talk about over that dinner?
Wow. Oh, my gosh. Oh, that's a great picture.
Yeah,
I haven't seen that yet. Yeah. No, we're mothers. We're juggling things. We're juggling our lives. You know, everybody's got their, you know, busy schedules. Kyle just had a movie come out.
Yeah.
You know, so we're all really busy. And so, we just talk and, you know, hang out and relax and chill. And it was really nice, you know, because it's kind of a family thing now, right?
Yeah.
Like the Housewives is my second discombobulated family.
Right.
And now this is my new discombobulated family.
Meanwhile, you're like, I can go to a dinner and no one is going to get so
Nobody's
drunk
gonna come
and
after
throw
me.
Food?
Yeah.
This is nice.
No, but it's great because it's funny because the Atlanta girls really don't drink a lot. And Beverly Hills, not really.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So I feel like, you know, it's nice because, you know, being around all that drinking.
Yes, because you're sober.
It's
right.
It's hard.
You know, it's hard. And it gets out of hand sometimes.
Yep.
And it's like, you know, I'm so happy that I don't have to deal with that.
Right.
Just takes one level off my, you know, platter, which is, you know, it's good. It's a godsend.
Okay. Oh, on the show, you really showed us your love life.
Yes.
Which we were very excited to see. Mm. Is there a new man? Can you tell us what's going on?
Well, Lou always pulls.
Okay, Lou always has a body.
I mean, I feel like during COVID, it was like so hard dating, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I was like fortunate, like on the show, I had Garth this season and they were a little jealous about that.
Yeah,
oh,
really
my God.
Hot on Garth.
Right? And I'm dating. I'm, you know, I don't have anybody like in my life right now because I'm too busy. I'm doing my cabaret and that's keeping me really busy and I love it. I can't wait to get back to live performing. You know, it's been a couple of years, you know, since I've been on the stage.
Do you want marriage again?
Do I want to get married? I'm a hopeless romantic.
What's your sign?
Taurus.
Okay.
Oh, nice, man.
Nice.
You know, three times the charm, right? I've been married twice and, you know, I hope that at one point I will find that, you know, again.
Love Your Cabaret Show because you know what people want. They want the camp. They want the moments. They want a little Housewives. They want a little Lou.
Exactly.
What's going to be different about this cabaret show than the last one?
Well, first of all, it's a Christmas show. So I just love Christmas and I love Christmas music. I have a new director, Richard J. Alexander, who's major. I've got Billy Stritch, Richard J. Directing me. And it's awesome to work with such icons in the business. Yeah. I mean, Richard J. is, you know, directs Kristen Chenoweth and Barbara Streisand.
Damn.
And Billy Stritch was with Liza for like over 20 years.
I mean, what
so
else
I'm
you
in
need?
Really good, you know, I have the best team ever. So I'm super excited to come back and come back with a Christmas show and a Christmas song, which I'm so fortunate to have done with Bruce Roberts, who produced the song. And you've heard it, right?
Yes. We've heard it.
We're singing it together.
Yeah. After the break, we're going to bring a piano out, and we're going to have Lou sing this live on camera. No, I'm just joking. We're going to play a really fun game with the Countess. Don't go anywhere. Oh, my God.
I will say, when we watched you film the video for that.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
With the Countess, what was your reaction? Were you, I'm sure you were probably like, thank God there's not going to be a reunion. I get it. I don't need to rehash.
Right.
It's easy.
Yeah, I feel like we kind of made a resolution at the end of our season. I felt like really good about, you know, the end of the season. Timing wise, it didn't work out. So I was disappointed, of course.
Yeah.
But, you know, we're rebooting and we'll be back. And, you know, and I'm looking forward to that, you know.
Well, while you guys reboot, let's play a little game we like to call Cabaret or Cabernet. We're going to ask you something about things that are going on in Housewives world, and you tell us Cabaret or Cabernet.
Okay, love it.
Clever.
First up, we have Dorit and Lisa Rinna piling on Gersell on last night's reunion. Was that a Cabaret or a Cabernet?
Cabernet.
You don't like the pile on.
No.
Yeah.
You know what?
You've been there.
Yeah, if there's an issue, it's better to have it one-on-one instead of people ganging.
Which you're really good at. You hit it directly, which is why we love you.
I try,
direct.
You know? I try to, you know.
You succeed at it.
In all these years, I don't shout.
Yeah.
You know, I feel like that's better to get your point across, right? I try to do the Obama thing.
Yes.
Yeah.
Good question. Okay, next one. Do you think Erika Jayne knew about her husband? Oh, my God. This is the question you give me. Oh. Do you think Erika Jayne knew about her husband's alleged financial crimes? Cabaret or Cabernet? That was a dip, guys.
Yeah, I think Cabernet. I don't think, you know, she would be so out there, you know, flaunting herself knowingly, you know, that her husband was doing these kind of deals. So I would think that she probably didn't know.
Same.
I would think. Yeah. Right? You too?
And Cabernet.
If his business partners didn't know, how would she?
Right.
You know
exactly.
What I mean?
Exactly.
Pillow talk.
Yeah.
Just saying. All right, so how about the already iconic salad fight between Mia and Candace on Housewives of Potomac? Was that fight Cabaret or Cabernet?
Are you
There's a lot of
salad?
Cabernets here today. I mean, you know, grown women don't throw salad at each other. It's just, no. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Right?
Yes.
I mean, come on.
This one I have to know.
Too grown up for that.
Would you be into Bethany Frankel returning to Housewives? Cabaret or Cabernet? Nay.
That's a good one.
Listen, you know, cabaret, you know, why not?
Right?
Yeah. You know, Bethany's been on the show for years, and she's a great reality star, I think. And why not? I don't think she would come back, but...
You don't think there's a shot in hell?
I don't think she would come back, no. I think she's moved on, and I think once you move on, it's like putting on your old slippers, you know?
Yeah.
You're not
going
to go back out with that old boyfriend that you broke up with.
Right?
Right?
But
so I don't think that she would, but...
But I feel like she comes back, and the first person she goes for... is you.
Me, always.
Oh, yeah.
Every
so bring
time.
It on, you know?
Yeah,
I love that. It's like, bring it.
Why do you think she goes for you first?
Yeah.
I think some people get up for you in the morning. They get dressed for you in the morning. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, my God.
That is what I'm going to start saying. Oh, you got up for me this morning.
You know what I'm saying?
Oh, okay.
You get dressed. You're like, okay, I'm going to show her, you know?
That is good.
That's everything. That kind of energy.
That was
like,
a real
remember that
moment.
Great scene in the Berkshires, and she's like, "You do this, you do that, and the other thing," and she's like, "In my face," and I'm like, "You need to get laid, darling." You know?
Yeah.
Ooh,
I thought,
you know? Yes.
It's
yes.
like, girlfriend, stop. You know? And that's when I did the Kim Cattrall moment. What am I, the Kim Cattrall of the Housewives?
I love it when, I mean, the most iconic scene in the New York franchise was when she first hated on you, when you were just like, "Hi, I'm Countess Luann. Nice mm-hmm. to meet you." Like, you're introducing yourself.
I don't think I ever introduced myself as Countess Luann to her.
No, never. Yeah. And then you got in the car and she was like, "Why would you do that?" And you were like, "Because it's my name." Like,
right.
You know what I mean?
Right. Oh, that was an instance.
You have to remember, the driver.
I just came back. Yeah. At that time, I was living in Europe for many years and I was addressed as Mrs. Deliceps. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it was just, you know, at that point in my life, you know, I was still married. It was still,
but
you know.
Still, even if you, that's what you want to be addressed as. It's like Kathy Hilton. Everyone says Mrs. Hilton. Like, yeah.
right.
You know what I mean?
Exactly.
It's just
what's
people
wrong
like,
with saying yeah. Mrs. Deliceps?
Right.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Right.
For
I
sure.
remember that. That was like 10 years ago, and I remember it like it was yesterday.
But you know me. I'm approachable and down to earth.
Totally.
I don't go around, you know, calling myself
yes.
the Countess. I mean, I think people have more fun calling me the Countess than I ever did.
Yeah,
yeah.
No,
I mean,
for sure.
100%.
Right. You're the Countess of the day you die.
It's
here.
Like my hashtag now.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
You should
hashtag Countess, you know?
Well, thank you, Countess.
So much fun. You
guys, thanks. A very Countess Christmas kicks off November 30th. Get your tickets and check out her new song, "What Do I Want for Christmas?"
Ooh.
Then set your DVRs because Countess Luann will also be joining Nightly
yes.
Pop tonight.
Yeah.
Love you guys. So good to see you.
Please do. Come back. We're coming
to
the LA show. Kate Walsh is spilling the secrets about her Grey's Anatomy return in our new interview with her next.
Welcome back, you guys. It is time for the Hollywood Minute. The new HBO Max documentary, What Happened, Brittany Murphy, just dropped, and it explores her rise and fall and death at just 32 years old.
My name's Amy Heckerling. I'm the writer-director of Clueless, which was the first movie that Brittany Murphy was in. We saw a lot of people for the part of Ty, and when Brittany came in, she was just genuine. She just felt like a sweet girl who kind of didn't fit in with the others and was just trying and being nice, but like was lost in this world.
Close friends like Amy remember their first encounters with Brittany and her downfall after she married Simon Monjak. Friends claim Simon was manipulative and controlling. Actress Kathy Najimy speaks openly of her disapproval of Brittany's relationship with Simon, saying she wishes she had done something to get her away from him. Other friends even say they staged an intervention, but Brittany refused to believe anything negative about Simon, even though they were showing her legal documents listing the trouble he had been in. He died just 5 months after Brittany. And that is your Hollywood Minute. Over on ABC, Kate Walsh is back on Grey's Anatomy tonight as Dr. Addison Montgomery. We talked to her about her comeback, and you'll want to hear what she told us about those rumors of drama behind the scenes.
Fans are going to be super stoked.
Nice to meet everyone. I'm Dr. Addison Montgomery.
It's like going home, going back home, but and then going back to a job that you started 18 years ago. I mean, whoever really does that?
This is Grand Rounds on its feet.
What does that mean?
It means you'll be coming with me. You must be the group that's been screwing up the program.
There's some great professional and personal things that transpire between her and Addison and Meredith, which I think the fans will be very excited by, satisfied by, and surprised by as well.
Find me a set of hands who's experienced in microvascular anastomosis of the abdomen. Get me Meredith Grey.
She's funny. She's actually sneaky funny, too. She's got a little comic, little Lucille Ball in her. And so we do make each other laugh. Over the years on the set, one of my favorite things, I think, is when Dempsey was there and everybody, it's just like, it's so such long hours and it's so intense. You're doing these scenes about life and death and all this very serious stuff. And then so when you're, you know, when the cameras aren't rolling, you'd be able to make each other laugh, and you just get really ridiculous and absurd.
But despite recent reports, in Kate's experience, things did not get nasty behind the scenes.
I've had an incredible experience on this show. It's never been anything but amazing for me, and I'm incredibly grateful for it, and I was incredibly grateful to come back. It made me a better actor and a better human, and I had nothing but an amazing, incredible experience.
Grey's Anatomy airs tonight on ABC. After the break, it's a Vanderpump Rules wedding. James and Raquel will be here to tell us everything, like who's invited and who isn't. Don't go anywhere.
I'm gonna cuss you out if you engage me.
Raquel Levis, I love you more than absolutely anything, and it would be my honor, my absolute honor, if you will marry me.
Oh my God.
Will you marry me?
Yes.
Oh my God, what if she would have said no in front of the camera?
You guys,
James and Raquel are here. Congratulations.
Thank you, Justin. Thank you. We're just over the moon.
I've seen a lot of things. I've never seen anyone get engaged at Coachella.
Thank you. Yeah.
How epic is that? Coachella means so much to us. It's something that we look forward to every single year. Yeah. And it just was so meaningful that James took that time and like made it that personable to me.
Yeah.
So romantic. He's like the most romantic person I've ever met.
Did you dream of that type of engagement when you were young? Like, was that like the dream proposal?
Every girl dreams of having like a huge over the top engagement or something very romantic.
Yes.
But this was like way beyond anything I could have ever imagined.
Right? James, you were like the playboy starting off on the show. Did you ever think you'd be engaged so young?
Well, you know, it's like I've definitely done a lot of growing. I've grown up on this show. Like I started when I was like 21, 20, and now I'm turning 30 in January. So it's kind of like...
Time went by so fast.
A decade to grow up. I feel like this is about the right time. I've always like pictured myself kind of like, you know, I've always wanted to get married, and after meeting Raquel and know it and just like, you know, falling absolutely in love with her. Everything's just falling into place exactly how it like should have, it feels like.
So. Did you call Lisa before, Lisa Vanderpump, everybody, of course you know. Did you call Lisa before you got engaged or before you proposed, and did she give you any advice?
Yeah, she's always giving me advice. We actually like had dinner over at Villa Rosa, and she actually made me get down on one knee in front of her.
Did she really? You're gonna practice this.
And try this out, yes. And she was like, ooh. Not bad. So I took the things she liked. I was like, all right, I'm gonna perfect this for the moment.
There's a lot of change going on with the cast, but I have to know, from the OGs who aren't on the show anymore, will they be invited to your wedding? Because they were a part of this whole thing.
Most likely not. I'm going to say, just because,
listen, weddings are expensive. You don't think that was a disapproval. I'm like, choose who you want.
Same. Right.
Yeah.
I mean, I didn't get that close to anybody that was on the previous cast. And I want to keep it all positive and, like, only good energy, especially at our wedding. We only get one wedding in life. Mm-hmm. So we're just going to keep it to our closest friends.
Damn, Raquel is cutthroat, and I love it. I am here for it.
Seriously.
I thought you were the savage.
Right. Not anymore. No, not anymore.
Have you picked a date or a destination?
We're still brainstorming ideas, but we're thinking 2023.
Okay.
Maybe summer or... Yeah. August.
Maybe like somebody, Beyonce on the Coachella stage, she brings you all out.
Wouldn't that be epic?
You have the wedding right then and there. No, we're not doing that?
Well, okay. We already did Coachella.
Okay, so got it.
We're done.
Right.
Reality TV relationships sometimes don't work out on camera, but it seems like reality TV kind of brought you guys closer together.
Well, it's like our lives together. Do you know what I mean? Like when coronavirus hit and like, you know, I wasn't DJing in the clubs because they were all closed and we didn't even film for a year. You know, Raquel and I were home every day and we live in our life together.
We were like, this is what life would be like without the cameras, without, you know, going to clubs every night in LA. Like, this is what our long-term life would look like.
Yes,
and
it was very
and
homey,
this is what
like,
I want.
Every like, night, and it was really nice.
Yeah, I knew that James was my person, and I was ready to take that next step with him.
Now look. My boyfriend DJing in the club till 4:30 in the morning with 4,000 women in it is cool. My husband DJing in the club at 4 a.m. in the morning ain't so cool.
No, I know, you can still do it.
It ain't so cool, but James has been 2 years sober now, and he really
Congratulations
has.
Congratulations to that. Let's take a moment.
Yeah, he's grown so much, and I trust him with all of my heart. He can be in New York DJing till 4 a.m., and I will trust that.
Like, you know, there's zero alcohol happening. So by the time I'm done with my set, you know, I'm like sweating.
You're
like,
ready to go home.
Like a rush. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I'll take some pictures and I'm out. Like, it's not like I'm going to party at the table. All night.
Okay, really quickly, you and Lala. I just need to know, since you've become a mom, have you seen the changes in her? How's the relationship now?
Absolutely. That's what I'm saying. Like, everyone's done so much, like, growing up, and, like, everyone's, like, different, and I think that's intriguing to see, especially, like, season 9. Like, all the shows, even when I watch, like, reality TV, I love the character building and stuff. So I can't even imagine for this. Like, Lala's done a lot of growing up, and she's an amazing mom to Ocean, and...
She's great.
Amazing. Yeah. Love Lala.
I was watching your face. And the respect. You got some of the tea. I watched your face. You did that.
You're going to call us right now.
I got something else to tell you all.
Look, I know we got to go to break, but I have to ask you this really quickly, because I think it's important. Raquel, if James was not on his sobriety journey and was not 2 years sober, and he would have asked you to marry him, would you have said yes? Mm.
I don't think I would have said yes, just because I know that long term, I want somebody that's stable and is going to prioritize me over any other substance. That's something that's super important to me, and that's something that James has shown me countless times, that he's willing to put me first.
Yeah, when I decided to quit drinking, it was because, like, she kind of gave me that ultimatum on the one, and it was like, you know what, I'm gonna make that decision right now.
So,
a woman
and
who
it's worked out beautifully.
Work.
It worked
out
beautifully.
A woman who knows her work will snag the man every time.
That's, I need to be more like Raquel. Damn, giving ultimatums and You guys, Vanderpump Rules airs Tuesdays on Bravo. Give another hand for Raquel and James, the happy couple. And James, 2 years sober. We are so loving this.
Yes.
After the break, I'm talking to the stars of Halloween Kills about stripping, celebrity crushes, and being totally badass. We'll be right back.
So should we get
ultimatums? Ultimatums. So, if you're like me and scared of Michael Myers, don't worry. Jamie Lee Curtis, Judy Greer, and Kyle Richards got your back. They are kicking ass in Halloween Kills, but there's another reboot I want to see Jamie Lee do.
Don't even know where to even begin, because I feel like I need a few more Jamie Lee Curtis reboots. Like, I need another True Lies moment where you and
they're
Arnold
making
get
a
back
TV
together.
I know, but they're making it. Babe, it'll be at an old folks. It'll be like... You know.
Assisted living?
No, I think you can still put on that black dress.
Of course mommy can, but they're not going to make that movie. They're making a TV show about it now.
My name is Michelle. Carl thought you'd like me.
At least we get to see Jamie Lee reprise her other famous role as Laurie Strode in Halloween Kills.
Us Strode women, we don't f*** around.
No, you really don't.
Michael Myers is alive.
I'm going to take your words, Jamie Lee Curtis. You don't around in this movie.
Oh, no.
No, no. Well,
any aspect of your life.
No, thank you. I try not to, but, you know, Lori is a wounded warrior, though, and therefore she can't fight for herself because she's hurt. So she has to turn to her daughter and granddaughter.
To fight for.
To fight for, which is not what her plan was.
Were you ready to take on that baggage?
No. I'm still not. But you know, when Jamie Lee Curtis asks you to do something,
you do it.
So.
That's how I got on Activia. Jamie Lee Curtis was like, eat this. And I was like, yes, I will do it.
Where did you see him? Look.
How do you live your life like this? I'm on this set and I'm looking behind my back because things are popping out, people are walking around, and you lived your childhood like this. What was that like?
This is why I have anxiety, Justin. I've been trying to tell you. No, I know, it's terrifying, right?
It is totally terrifying.
Kyle Richards is back as Lindsay, and Anthony Michael Hall joins the cast as Tommy Doyle.
Lori, what do we do?
We fight.
And he gave us quite the confession about his co-stars.
I'll tell you what, I remember Kyle. Like, I remember I had a crush on her and Jamie Lee when I was little. You know what I'm saying? This is just in right now.
But I remember watching Kyle when I was a kid in those Disney movies, man. So she's a great lady to work with. She had a real gung-ho attitude.
Mom, our family will kill him.
Back in the 80s and 90s, you had to show a boob in order to get killed in a movie. But this is about women facing their fears and finishing a job that most people couldn't do. What's it like to be a part of something that embraces not the norm?
We all showed our boobs, just not on camera, but like...
I was wearing a hospital gown, babe. There's a lot of things being shown.
Halloween Kills is in theaters and on Peacock tomorrow.
Ooh.
And if you don't have Peacock yet, just scan that QR code on the screen. We are going to hook you up. After the break, Kate Beckinsale comes clean about a reckless decision. And do blondes really have more fun?
Mm.
She's got the answer. Not this blonde, she's always pregnant.
That means she has some fun.
Yeah.
Oh.
Kate Beckinsale is taking on a new challenge, starring in the TV series Guilty Party. She's telling us all about that, her new look, and why her damn daughter keeps on stealing her clothes.
Oh man, it's gonna happen.
All day.
She started doing that in middle school. But no, she's much more stylish than I am, and also lives in New York.
But 22-year-old Lily Sheen isn't the only one trying to amp up her wardrobe.
She was here recently, and she's left her favorite T-shirt here. I need to force myself to not wear it and to actually fit it.
We caught up with Kate, who stars as discredited journalist Beth Burgess in the Paramount Plus series Guilty Party.
The last year has been really hard. My husband wants me to become this walking uterus. I work for this brainless child dictator.
We all know your reputation.
I'm sorry, what?
I like the fact that she was at that moment where everything was sort of wobbly in her life. And so, I think when you're in that place, you're kind of more emotionally, but more likely to make reckless decisions and do stupid things. And, you know, she has a real learning curve in this show, but she does have to do some silly things along the way. Out of kind of desperation.
Not only did Kate dip into comedy for this role, but she also got to switch up her look.
I mean, it's tough. I didn't really test drive blonde that well. It was a pandemic and it was minus 45 degrees, and so it's harder to have fun with those two things. Having said that, I did really enjoy it.
Hey, yeah, I see
you
that.
Know what I mean?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Sarah Plain and all. Check out Guilty Pleasure tonight on Paramount Plus. Let's take a moment for an I Told You So.
Mm.
There was a hot rumor that Taylor Swift bumped up her album release date to make room for Adele. Not everyone was buying it, but check out this clip from our show 2 weeks ago. I think for Taylor Swift, she knows that this is a re-release, so everyone has heard this Red album. She wants it to go number one so she can stick her foot in Scooter Braun's face. So for her, it's that tactic of, Kanye is gonna back up his album because Drake's coming out. Not because it's a competition, but she wants to be able to get that number one spot to say, ha ha! Uh-huh. Now it looks like I might have been right. Taylor pushed the re-release of Red up to November 12th, and Adele just confirmed her new album is coming out November 19th.
Ah!
Would you guys like me to explain my theory about how I knew?
Well, because you're smart? Why?
Yes, that too.
Yes. She wanted the runway. Taylor wanted the runway to be clear.
Yes.
She didn't want any oncoming traffic. She didn't want planes landing. She wanted it to be like an easy cakewalk to number one spot.
Yeah, yeah.
And that was not happening with Adele.
And Adele is highly anticipated. She has already mentioned that the album is going to be about divorce. Everybody's ready to cry. It's perfect. The weather is cold.
By the way, people
are ready to cozy up.
But what if Rihanna came and said, bam, here's my album too, November
19th. Don't even engage with
Rihanna. Why do y'all think Rihanna's coming with an album?
She's not, and who cares?
Not.
She gave us good songs, and she's looking all damn good all the time.
She's like, I'm rich off of beauty and makeup and Fenty's.
Best dress. Also, this is how you're not going to be friends with Rihanna. I'm telling you, you need to change your tune about her album coming. This is why she loves me.
Nope. Never going to change that tune. I need it. I often think, and I tell people this all the time.
I often think.
Okay.
Everyone's like, you think Adele and Taylor Swift just call one another and da-da-da. And I'm like, no. Universal Music Group is Taylor's label. They also own Republic Records, who does Adele. So they all converse. It's one business.
People, exactly. They all know what's going on. And also, by the way, Taylor's a very powerful force as well, and I'm sure Adele, on a small side, doesn't even want to take the risk either. It's better for both women to have their time, and they should.
Thank you.
Baby, look at that face, Adele.
Adele's killing it.
Look at that face! If that is what divorce does,
get out of here.
You never look better than when after you get divorced.
Right?
Seriously.
Tomorrow, you got more with my interview with Ellen Pompeo. We'll also show you how to make some spooky Halloween treats and the plus-size fashion you need for fall. Set your DVR. Don't forget to check out Nightly Pop tonight at 11:30. And don't forget to get Karamo's book, the juicy one, the one I like. We'll see you guys tomorrow. I ain't got no kids.
Okay, okay, you want the juicy one.
I want the juicy one that told me about where to spot at.
Okay.
Oh, my God.